Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, with me on this edition. And Bill, what we do in these programs is we bring out current events, current stories, interesting statistics, and we draw in biblical principle. And the whole idea is to teach. The whole idea is to be sure we're equipping the man and woman of God for every good work. We just know that the Word of God applies to every area of life, and let's learn how to make proper application of it to it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a simple idea for the program. Anybody can do this.
You know,
wait a minute. Don't have all your friends do it because you're going to compete with us.
That's right. We are the experts. You know what an expert is, right?
Yeah.
X is the unknown factor and spurt is a drip under pressure.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. Or some people say the guy who's the professional, you know, 20 miles from home with the briefcase.
That's right.
But today we're going to take a look at the upcoming election, but really contrasting Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And interesting surveys have come out through Pew Research and other research organizations, and this particular one takes a look at these men's religious affiliations. Americans are not buying Biden's devout Catholic label, poll finds, is from Fox News, but it's referring to a Pew Research study recently done. A large majority of Americans are not convinced by President Biden's presentation of himself as a devout Catholic. The poll conducted by Pew Research, conducted just in February of this year, found that 13% of Americans think of Biden as very religious, while 41% say he's somewhat religious. Another 44% say not at all or not too religious. And if you look at the same survey referring to Donald Trump, only 4% of Americans say they believe Trump is very religious, while 25% say he's somewhat religious. 68% say not too religious, not at all religious. So what is this? 29% of Americans think Trump might be religious. 54% of Americans think Biden might be religious. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I'm 100% convinced that both of them are
totally religious.
Totally religious.
Yeah, they're totally religious.
Because that you have to define the terms. You know, what do you mean by religious?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people equate that with being Christian, but that's not the case. But everybody's religious. Everybody has a belief system. And everybody believes in something. Even the person who believes in nothing believes in something because he believes in nothing.
So you're defining religion as the fundamental belief system or the fundamental propositions or presuppositions that are believed and held to and by which we understand the world around us.
Yeah, one of the definitions in Webster's Dictionary is it's a belief held to with ardor and faith. Ardor, A-D-O-R, extreme love and devotion and faith. Now, there's no mention of God in there. So obviously and certainly people who believe in God are religious, but people
because they believe in God.
Yeah. The people who believe in no God are equally religious.
Right. Because they believe in no God and they hold to that with a fairly strong belief.
Yeah. With ardor, deep love and devotion and faith.
With all that devotion, faith, and love. Right.
In fact, at Worldview Academy, we teach there's no such thing as a non-believer.
Right.
Everybody's a believer.
Just
in
a question
something.
Of what do you believe in?
And what is the object of your faith? It's not do you have faith. What is the object of your faith?
Well, President Joe Biden believes in humanism.
Yes.
Evolution. Autonomy. What is autonomy? That he's a law to himself. He does not subject himself to the laws of God. Killing babies, sexual perversion. He believes these things. Yep. I think if you were to ask him, do you believe in sexual perversion?
He would say no. No,
whatever.
Because he redefines what sexual perversion is.
But, I mean, if you define it, you say homosexuality, killing babies, abortion, aborting babies that have a heartbeat.
Then he would absolutely.
Do you believe in
yes.
this? He'd say, oh, yes, I believe in it.
Yes.
And, you know, he's very passionate about that. You heard the State of the Union address a week or two ago, or maybe excerpts of it, Bill.
I did.
And he
didn't
had
bother.
A ton of passion when he spoke of abortion. He had a religious passion
yes.
for killing babies.
Yeah.
He is passionate. He is religiously passionate about killing babies. Humanism, the idea that man is central, that man determines his own ethics, etc. Joe Biden is religious, absolutely religious. Donald Trump believes in Trump. And he's very religious about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to know what else. I guess he's a little bit of a moving target. But one thing is for sure, and I've said this before in this cast, and that is that Donald Trump believes in Donald Trump.
Sure.
I think that's very strong. So what do they mean? What does Pew Research mean when they say Biden is more religious than Trump? or the perception of the populace in America is that Biden is roughly twice as religious as Trump. 54% of Americans think Biden might be religious. 29% of Americans think Trump might be religious. So that's about double, right? So Biden twice as religious as Trump. What do they mean by religion?
Right.
What they mean is a commitment to ritualism, to spiritual talk, to religious language, which is kind of a superficial view of religion. Wouldn't you say? I mean, that's superficial. If you ran into somebody who just could use religious language, unlike anybody, like Jimmy Carter could use religious language, very good with it.
Yeah.
The spiritual language.
Barack Obama was good at it.
He was. He was one of the best. He used more spiritual language, I think, biblical language, than any president since, well, maybe Jimmy Carter or perhaps Rutherford Hayes or some of those folks from the 1800s. Okay, well, yeah, that's what we're talking about, which is a very, very thin-coded idea. People can be, you know, very religious, ritualistic, et cetera, et cetera. They go to a church. They kind of go through this ritual thing. And then the thing they believe in is that they are cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. They love killing babies, and they love it when people express sexual autonomy. Okay, what's that guy's religion? Humanism. He's a humanist. That's his religion. He's committed to it. You see the difference, Bill?
No,
he's ritualistic.
Actually, he's a sociopath.
Well, he's a sociopath, but he believes in sociopathic
ideas.
Well, we'll take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about which president was most Christian. In the Christian sense. So we're looking at three different definitions of religion. The first definition is your worldview. The second definition is whether you're really good with rituals and religious language, which is a superficial definition of religion. The third is to what degree are you committed to the Christian faith?
Yeah.
That's the third definition of religion, which I'm going to address next on Generation. Stay with me. We've seen it, folks. God is working in the hearts of dads and sons, and he's turning the hearts of fathers back to the sons and the hearts of sons back to the fathers and turning us all back to God. That's what we're looking for, and that's the theme of the Father-Son Retreat we've been sponsoring out here in the mountains of Colorado for the last 20 years, and I've been part of this for all this time. Now, God has done amazing things through the years. I've seen it. 350 dads and sons getting into God's Word together. Nothing like it. Camaraderie, brothers on brothers, it's a band of brothers coming together, powerful talks, prayer, father-son walks and talks, meaningful engagement. It's almost going without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together. And hey, we don't get enough time out in God's nature playing games and going for hikes in God's fresh air. And we don't get quite enough time in God's Word either. So don't miss this year's Father-Son Retreats this August in the Colorado Rockies up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Check it out at coloradofathersun.com and register today and be one of the first 125 people to sign up and save $100 per father and son. Secure your spot with the biggest discount available right now at coloradofathersun.com. And we are back on Generations. Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack as well with me on this edition. And Bill, I wanted to contrast some of the presidents of the United States briefly. Now, we like to do this because, well, we've got some great courses that we provide for homeschool students, Christian school students across America. America in God's Providence is our 1,000-page, beautiful, full-color presentation of American history from a Christian perspective. And encourage you to that resource. If you are a Christian family, be sure that you use Christian curriculum for your children. That is a history curriculum taken from a distinctively Christian worldview, not a humanist worldview, which is what you get with the rest. So encourage you to a Christian-based worldview curriculum, especially when it comes to history. So vital when it comes to history. So use our American God's Providence history course for that's two-volume deal now. And just came out with a second edition, Bill, about 4 or 5 months ago. So here's the question I want to ask. Which president was most Christian? I think that's a separate question from the question as to who was better with religious language, who's better with you know, the rituals, or who is most committed to a humanist worldview versus a Christian worldview. Well, there are three presidents who are completely unaffiliated, according to POTUS.com. That's the Presidents of the United States. POTUS.com has a summary of the Presidents of the United States. POTUS.com lists three presidents unaffiliated. When we say unaffiliated, they're the nuns. They're the people that were abandoning the Church of Jesus Christ entirely. And they were either atheists or agnostics, or just not willing to have any association at all with the Church. And these three presidents are Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and Thomas Jefferson. Now, Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson, both presidents during the darkest time in American history in the 19th century, very dark, very atheistic period of time. Seances in the White House, very bad time in American history, very dark. Thomas Jefferson had no church affiliation either. So three post-Christian presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and Thomas Jefferson, between 1810 and 1865, very dark time in American history. This was the time of the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment philosophies had rushed into America. Actually, extreme spiritual attack upon the nation came largely through upper state New York and the northern side, and very absolutely intense battle going on over this period of time. By the way, read my seventh chapter in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the spiritual attack that came upon the Western world, first in Russia, then in France, and then eventually in America by the 1790s and on into the early 1800s, especially in upper state New York. Something spiritual, something wicked this way came in upper state New York in the 1810s, 1820s. Anyway, that was a very, very bad time in American history. Also, James Monroe, Ulysses S. Grant are typically seen as fairly non-Christian. There's little surviving evidence of Monroe's religious beliefs, but what evidence there is suggests that from his 20s onward, Monroe wasn't very religious, very, very seldomly attended church. Ulysses S. Grant seems to have refused to ever profess his faith, even when a bishop of his wife's Methodist denomination pressed him on his deathbed. Thomas Jefferson, sometimes called an atheist, he rejected the virgin birth, called the Book of Revelation the ravings of a maniac, and described the Trinity as hocus pocus, phantasm. In his private life, he was still somewhat religious, went to church, and prayed. Okay, so that's Thomas Jefferson.
And supported missionary outreaches.
Mm-hmm. And the printing of Bibles. Yeah. Very interesting.
And the Jeffersonian Bible, which is often pointed to as him cutting out all the miracles of the Bible and trying to discredit Christ's divinity. Actually, from what I've read, is that he had that translated for Native American tribes so that it would be kind of a Reader's Digest version, you know, so that it would be an introductory kind of thing. Now, whether that's true or not, but I think he gets a bad rap. Mm-hmm. I think he was heretical in his beliefs, especially later in life, but I think he gets a bad rap.
Well, you had so much Enlightenment philosophy that was rushing into the States at that time. Best presidents in terms of their commitment to the Christian faith. Hmm. Here's my list. Rutherford Hayes.
Yeah.
Good guy. Him singing in the White House. Tried to bring back solid money, good money, after the Civil War. Tried to get rid of the greenbacks and bring and allow for a gold-backed, silver-backed currency. Again, the United States. James Garfield. He was the only pastor elected as president of the United States. You know, he's a preacher.
Yep.
In fact, he wrote a letter to his mother when he was elected president of the United States. I've resigned the highest office in the land to become president of the United States.
Yeah.
You ever hear that expression from James Garfield? Really, yeah. 6 months later, he was assassinated, sadly, and his vice president, very bad guy, Chester Arthur, took that position. Then William McKinley, very amazing president of the United States, cared for his wife had so many seizures, you remember the story, but he was a committed Christian. He made some mistakes, as I see it, but William McKinley, I believe, was a believer. Again, this is the period of time in which the Moody revivals were sweeping across America and bringing really an evangelical revival to a nation that had been sunk into Unitarianism and just become a foul, foul place in the 1850s and 1860s. But after the Moody revivals, tremendous things started to happen. And that's how you get to the Rutherford Hayes and the James Garfields and William McKinley's. John Quincy Adams is one of my favorites.
And what happened to McKinley?
Well, he was killed as well.
Yeah.
It's a good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah. He was assassinated as well. So good guys tend to get assassinated, especially if they happen to be president of the United States. John Quincy Adams worshipped at three different churches in Washington, D.C. In fact, he would often stay over in the evenings, the Sunday evenings. And there's a story where, you know, he was involved with hymn singing that went until like 9, 10 o'clock at night at the local church and came back to the White House and he was banging on the windows trying to get in because they had locked him out. So it's a story I share in American God's Providence. So some really great stories in American God's Providence. Be sure you pick up a copy and read it out loud to your kids. It's a lot of fun, I think, to work through America in God's Providence. New edition just hot off the press. So grab a copy at generations.org. But yeah, Adams, great guy, wrote a lot of religious poetry, Christian poetry, some great, really great hymns. He was also vice president of the American Bible Society. Also involved in the Amistad case towards the end of his life. You remember that. So pretty amazing president. Then you get off to Jimmy Carter and those of the modern age that come back in and begin to use some religious language. So I include Jimmy Carter and Barack Obama in that group. Not so much Donald Trump. In fact, Donald Trump needs to stay away from talking about the Bible because he usually messes it up when he does. It's kind of sad.
What about Eisenhower?
Eisenhower, I like Eisenhower. And here's one of the reasons. The only president baptized as president of the United States and repents of assigning the Warren Court that brought the pornography, brought Roe v. Wade, brought all the ugly stuff into the United States, brought the control of Satan over most of the American institutions, comes through the Earl Warren Court. I deal with that in American God's Providence. But Eisenhower regretted that. It's one of his great regrets. So I would say Eisenhower would be an example of a president who later repented of some of the evil that he brought down upon the nation, especially in appointing the Earl Warren Court. Well, that's pretty much it. That would be my favorites. Any good presidents since, well, Calvin Coolidge, not so bad either.
All right.
But he wasn't very open with his faith.
I read his biography. And
yeah, I did too.
And it was a fascinating biography.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he had maybe the shadow of the memory of Christianity.
Yeah, he did. He acknowledged the Lord Jesus Christ at one point in one of his speeches, which is pretty rare for presidents in the 20th century.
I mean, Trump has done that.
I know he has.
He has done that.
Several times recently.
So, I think,
We're kind of hoping that Trump will turn into a Manasseh, actually repented and became a good president of the United States, even as Manasseh turned into a halfway decent king towards the end of his life. So we're hoping for that. I think, to hope for mercy upon some of these leading figures is still important for us. Let's not cast all these guys into hell in our minds.
And
pray for mercy upon these leaders.
You pray that God changes their hearts and their minds, or he removes them from office.
Yeah.
Because he controls the heart of the king. And we need to pray not just, oh Lord, bless this leader. We need to pray specifically that they have a renewal of their heart and a reformation of their thinking.
Just a quick story about Calvin Coolidge, happens to be one of my favorite presidents. You know, Harding was a horrible president, probably one of the worst in American history. Very immoral. It's possible his wife killed him. Mm. People aren't sure. Might have been poisoned. Huh. Anyway, Harding dies. And Calvin Coolidge is the vice president of the United States. He's hanging out with his dad in a cabin up in upstate New York, I think, at the time. And his dad is a local magistrate of some sort. His dad said, well, just heard the news. Get your hand on the Bible. Pulls out the family Bible. Get your hand on that, son. And gave him the presidential oath right there. Under candlelight on the family Bible. So these stories available for you, friends, at America and God's Providence. Our neat little two-volume set. Actually, it's not so little, but it's a beautiful presentation of American history put together by Justin and the team. Really terrific, terrific presentation of American history in beautiful full color. Available at generations.org. It's called American God's Providence. It's an American history from a distinctly Christian worldview perspective. Available again at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.